As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour on a Monday. B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Giving away Caps tickets all day today to Game 2. Today, yep. Every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Next chance coming up in about 20 minutes at 1:20. Right now, it's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome in the radio voice of the Capitals, John Walton, getting set to call Game 1 tonight. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Toby. How are you?
Can't complain, man. Excited about some playoff hockey. What's the preparation like getting ready for Game 1 tonight?
Well, a through the morning skate here in Arlington, and Spencer Carberry has gone a little more tight-lipped than he has been through, we'll say, the first couple of seasons here, which is understandable, and just not a whole lot of confirmation on lineup. But we can tell you this. Looked like Logan Thompson might be able to get back in between the pipes tonight for Game 1. He was the first goaltender off today. Doesn't mean that he's in, but usually that's what we look for. Coach didn't really give us any indication, but if that's the case, it'll be the first time he's been in since April 2nd. No Alexei Protas tonight, no Martin Ferravari tonight. But otherwise, the line combinations that we've seen down the stretch and in toward the playoffs here, I think will be the same, and looking to get the start that they really need in this best of seven against Montreal tonight. Get out to a really good start, try and get that first win, and then go from there.
If it's Logan Thompson, can you expect him to be what he was? I mean, I know he's been out for a bit, but they wouldn't play him if he's not ready.
Well, I mean, from a physical standpoint, that's absolutely true. From a results standpoint, I think when you look at what went on over the last 25, 26, 27 games, I mean, really from the Four Nations break in February until now, neither he nor Charlie Lindgren had the goals against average that they had in the first two-thirds of the season. The Caps were giving up a little bit more than 3 goals a game in that span. That is a lot different than what was about 2.5 during the course of the first two-thirds of the season. So up a little bit, and you'd like to see that come down, especially now that we're here in the postseason. And for Logan, he was going through a little bit of that, and then at the time he got hurt. So it hasn't been 3 weeks, but it's been the better part of 3 weeks since we saw him in there. So I think if indeed it is LT tonight, I think it's going to be really important for him just to feel a few pucks early, to be able to kind of get back into a groove. I understand this is a tough decision because Charlie is healthy, and I thought his last time out was really good in the game against the Islanders on Tuesday. So, but Logan Thompson went 31-6, and it's tough to dispute that. So we'll see how he fares if indeed he is the guy tonight in Game 1.
Talking with John Walton here on B. Mitch and Finley ahead of Game 1 tonight for the Caps and the Canadiens. John, I think the question that just about every Capitals fan has going into this playoffs is, Can they flip that switch to what they looked like earlier in the season, the top seed in the Eastern Conference, where they struggled down the stretch? They were focused on the OV goal chase. It maybe changed up a little bit of their play style, and you're hoping that with a couple games left that they could maybe get back into shape. And they looked good against the Islanders, maybe not so much against the Blue Jackets on back-to-back nights, and it seemed like it was more so a little bit of a different game against the Penguins to wrap things up. But do you think they can flip that switch back on and look like the team we saw early in the season?
Yeah, I think when they talk about flipping the switch, and look, well, I've never strapped on skates and gone out and done it myself here, but I think that everybody, and there's already been a couple of nights of Stanley Cup playoffs to watch here, a team like Florida in their last 10 games, you know, they were 500, and Winnipeg had their ups and downs down the stretch. It's difficult for all good teams, especially those like Winnipeg, Florida, Washington, even Toronto, who won big last night over Ottawa, to be able to say, look, the playoffs aren't here yet, and you want to be healthy, and you want to be ready to go when the best of seven comes around, when it's playing for keeps time. So it is, from a human element, I think it's really difficult for any team. It wasn't just the Capitals who were plodding down the stretch. They were, to be fair, but Montreal had to be hot down the stretch or they wouldn't be here. And, you know, there's a real interesting comparison between Montreal this year and the Capitals last year, where the Capitals had to basically win everything down the stretch. They were playing for their lives every single night, and they needed to do that just to get in. And then that will and want was taken away in the first two games against the Rangers by a team that didn't have anything to play for down the stretch. So I think the model is that from last year. The Capitals want to be the bully this time instead of the kid who got his lunch money taken. Come out and make life miserable on these guys tonight. Do it in the first 10 minutes. Come out hitting. I want to see Wilson and Dubois being physical and really imposing that physical will and making that investment in the series. Do that. Get that first goal. These guys are a good team. They've got very good forwards, but they're susceptible defensively. Do that, and you'll play the game in their end, and you'll win the series.
How big of a loss would it be for Protas not to be on ice?
Not having Pro hurts. We were given some optimism. You know, I mean, Spencer has gone into full CIA mode here, where we're not going to get anything of any substance, but he even floated out. I was like, well, maybe you'll see him tonight. We won't see him tonight. I'm going to tell you that, because he was out in a blue jersey. He's not even cleared for contact. We saw that. But that doesn't mean that we won't see him in the series, and I think we could very well. And, you know, maybe it's when we go to Montreal, or maybe it's later, or maybe it even is in round two, and the Caps may have to get through the series without him. But to your point, B. Mitch, he's a guy who is great on the penalty kill. He's not necessarily physical, as in blow you up like a Wilson or some of the other guys in the lineup, but a guy who's just so strong along the board, you can't get the puck from him. And he's got a great finish, and he's got a great passing. And since he's been out, you know, some of those things have suffered a little bit. But I think being able to know that at some point, if you're going to get him back, even if it's the beginning of the next round, assuming that you're able to take care of business in this series, he is a difference maker. And he's made himself into that this year. Just a fantastic year, 30-plus goals and scoring shorthanded, almost none of those goals coming on the power play. So very impressive with what he's been able to do. And I think getting him back can be a real shot in the arm for this team once they hopefully get through this first round.
There's still some holdovers from 2018 when they won the Cup, but I not as many, you know, as not making up the whole roster, not a majority of the players. But I think last year what happened, John, where they were able to have that magical run to end the season, get in just to get swept. How much do you think that motivates this group going in, where it feels like it motivated this group even early in the season, where they came out, Ovi was playing better than he did early in the season last year, he was playing great this year before he got hurt, and this team was playing so well that they finished at the top of the Eastern Conference. How much do you think last year's playoffs will motivate them going into this playoffs?
Last year wasn't a lot of fun when you lose in four straight, but what it means now is for Connor McMichael and for the rest of the guys from Hershey, Protas, when he gets in, to be able to, and even Charlie Lindgren, who had never played in a playoff series before, and he ended up playing all four, he didn't win one, but all of that showed you under the brightest lights. Madison Square Garden was a perfect place for that. This is the level you need to get to be successful in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And all of those guys have seen it. They took a beating last year. They ended up not winning a single game. But you learn from that. And that's where that investment and taking your lumps, you say, okay, now we're going, this is what we know where we need to be right from the jump when the puck drops tonight at 7:12. A lot of guys on Montreal have never played in a playoff series before. Some have. They've got, you know, 7 or 8 guys that have. They've even got some guys that have gone to the Stanley Cup final, but they don't have a very young D core. They're the youngest team ever to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. And not average age isn't even 26. It's 25.9 something. They don't have a lot of experience. There are the bright lights of being on national TV. They play in a market in Montreal. Think of the Commanders on steroids in this market. That's what they face every single day in terms of media scrutiny. There's pressure on them. Now you get down in the series. Oh, what's wrong with you guys? I mean, it's a lot of things that tip in this first game. This first game, guys, so important for that reason. You've got to come out and really punch them in the mouth early. I don't mean literally. I mean be up 3-0 after one and go, oh, my God, maybe we don't belong here. And if you do that, you'll probably prove to them that maybe they weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah, the punch in the mouth might not be bad later on in the game.
just as a finishing touch.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure they understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, taking a look at tonight, how will we know as we're watching, listening to the game tonight, how will we know that the Caps they're clicking on all cylinders, they're playing, obviously, up on the scoreboard, but what are some of the subtle things you're looking for to say, okay, this Caps team is locked in, ready to roll?
One of the things I really want to see, and you always want to see this, but tonight I think it is of paramount importance, you have to play this game in their zone. They're going to block a lot of shots. I don't necessarily need to see 15, 16, 17 first period shots, but I would like to see the shot attempts, even if they're blocking them. I want to see a lot of action in front of Sam Montembeault, even if it's just holding the zone, even if it's just puck possession. Make sure that you're taking the game out of Montreal's forwards. Cole Caulfield is a terrific player. He has 3 goals in 3 games against the Caps this year. He's small. Lane Hudson is, whose brother, by the way, may be with the Capitals in another season or two here. His brother plays at BU and is a Caps draftee, and hopefully he's as good as his brother is, but Lane Hudson is really good at playmaking, but he's small. The physical investment comes from the hitting guys, and physical is easy to see, but being able to carry the game in the offensive zone is what you've got to have happen. Take the game out of their forwards' hands. If their forwards don't have the puck, they're not going to be able to do what they do offensively, and they're not going to end up with that many shot attempts in the first period. If you do that, you can get a goal or two. Obviously, that's easy to tell. But I'm looking where the majority of the first period is tonight. Are you playing in front of Sam Montembeault? Are you taking away his vision? Are you sending guys to the front of the net to be able to make sure that he can't see pucks that are coming in? And maybe they'll block him, and maybe they'll be all right in the first period. Maybe it's scoreless after 20. That's okay. As long as you're taking it to them and you're able to do that for 60 minutes, I think the Caps are going to be fine tonight.
And what do they need to do to help? I mean, we're going to have Logan Thompson in the net. What can they do to help him? Because it's not just on the goalie.
It's not. I mean, you're going to want to be able to, on defense, without Martin Ferravari tonight, Alex Alexiev, who really hasn't played a lot this year, but really has done well. He played almost 23 minutes the other night in Pittsburgh, and I think he's shaken off the rust. He's good to go. But being able to get touch passes and quickly move out of your zone. Don't spend a lot of time in giving the Canadians a chance to impose their will physically and come in on the forecheck and make you turn things over in your own zone. Quick passes out of the zone, that's probably the biggest thing. It's not the worst thing in the world if he gets a few pucks early, just because he's been out since April 2nd. Mm-hmm. Just get him some touches, get him comfortable. I don't think that's certainly a big, it's not a problem. It's probably a good thing if Montreal comes out with a little fire. Just as long as he can see pucks coming, I think that's something I'd like to see in the first 10 as well.
Talking with John Walton on the Rude Guest Hotline here on B. Mitchell Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. You mentioned some of the young guys for Montreal. Young guy that's going to be playing in his first playoffs for the Capitals, Ryan Leonard. What have you made in his early time with the Capitals this year, and how do you think he's going to adjust to the playoff environment?
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, the points haven't been there in 9 games. He had 1 goal. It was into an empty net. But, you know, there's a lot of energy, and, you know, he likes to play physical. I think it's an adjustment for him, and Montreal has someone similar. Ivan Demidov is a 4th overall pick, and they're got him into just the last two games of the regular season. Those guys are real X factors. I mean, they can both be difference makers in the series, but it's how quickly can you adapt and how much are you asking with a guy who, you know, for Ryan Leonard just 3 weeks ago, he's playing college hockey and now he's in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's quite a leap. And for Ivan Demidov, he was in the KHL this year, not the same by a long shot as the NHL. And now you're really trying to catch a moving train. How quickly can you do that? Both guys are very talented. Both guys are going to be very good players in this league. But in a series, and all hockey playoff series are, it gets tight. And, you know, sometimes one bounce, one play, one shot, one goal makes all the difference. Can you get something like that out of one of those guys, whether it's Leonard for the Caps or Demidov for Montreal? And, you know, I think, you know, playing on a third line with a guy like Lars Eller, who's been there, done that kind of guy. Andrew Mangiapane, to me, who's also on that line, is a guy that's really kind of designed for this time of year. He's not a big guy, but you see him a lot going to the front of the net, trying to make things happen. And I love the makeup of the guys they brought in the offseason, those seven guys from last summer, where, you know, especially like Brandon Duhaime, man, that guy was built for this tonight. I mean, to be able to come out, not only be physical, but do it with a snarl when you arrive. Love that. And I think that's a little bit of what Mangiapane brings too. And, you know, a guy that can score you a few goals. One of those guys, Anthony Beauvillier too, the guy they got at the trade deadline, he's got 15 career playoff goals. So those guys all on different lines, hopefully are able to contribute and kind of make their mark on things.
Talking about a tough final exam for Ryan Leonard, huh?
Yeah. The professor would like to see you now. Yeah, that's a tough deal. I agree with you.
Hell, you get to the end of your hockey year, and you're in the damn playoffs. Oh, boy. Woo.
Yeah, I don't know about you, B. Mitch. I never had anybody who was a teacher or professor that came up and wanted to punch me in the mouth, though.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those.
That's the physicality of hockey.
John, what's the key for tonight? Well, like going into game one, like you said, you want to keep the puck in their zone. You want to play really aggressive. What's the key for tonight, for this series, for this Capitals team to move on? Because I think, you know, that with the way that this season went, the expectations going into this playoffs are a little higher than what they have been last couple of years. What's the key so that they can keep playing playoff hockey a little further into the postseason?
I don't want to put too much on one game, because if you lose tonight, you know, one loss does not a series make, but you obviously don't want to hand home ice advantage, of which you worked for 82 games for. You don't want to hand it right off the jump here and know you're going to have to win a game in Montreal. But I really think the first period tonight, to be able to, for the guys who have been here for a bit but don't go back to 2018, to be able to say, you know what, last year we got embarrassed, and we're not going to let that happen again. We got running four straight. We were barely here. The year before, they didn't make it. The year before that, they won a couple games, but then they ended up losing three straight, and they ended up now have lost seven straight playoff games going back to 2022. So just getting that win and doing it in a way that's consistent with what you were doing throughout the vast majority of this season. Play like a team that won 51 games and ended up with more than 110 points. This is the fourth best season Capitals have ever had in 50 years. Play like it. Come out and establish that. Tom Wilson knows what to do this time of year. John Carlson knows what to do this time of year. Alex Ovechkin obviously knows what to do this time of year. But the guys who grew up last year, got their first taste of action, use that knowledge. Go out and take care of business. You know what you got to do. You saw it last year. You saw it against a team that you are that team now. Be that team. And I have every confidence with what we've seen with this coaching staff. You know, they're not at 100%, but you know what? No one is this time of year, and that's not an excuse. You don't have Martin Ferravari? Too bad. Go out and find a way to do it anyway. Logan Thompson's coming back after 3 weeks. Don't care. Go out and do it anyway. You know, play for your goalie. Play for your teammates. Play for the guy next to you. And you do that, and I have, from what I've seen with this group, it's one of the tightest groups I've ever seen in my time here. And I think if they get off in that, just again, that first 10 minutes, say, okay, you know what? We got this. And, you know, you put your foot on them right away, and you don't let them up until the weekend. So hopefully by the time that you get to game four, you say, all right, you know what? We're in a pretty good position here. Let's finish this off and move on.
Well, you got me ready to play, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm fired up, Mitch. On three, let's go.
Hey, you got me ready. Yeah, let's go.
John, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening to you on the call tonight at Rockin' Cap One Arena.
All right. Thanks, fellas. All right,
man. Take care, brother.
That's John Walton. He's going to be on the call right here on the Fin. I know. I can't wait. Game one, going to Puck drop just after 7 o'clock. You can hear John on the call right here on The Fan. Right now, though, we're giving away tickets to caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. You want a pair of tickets to Game 2 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals, Wednesday, April 23rd versus Montreal Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Again, caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. Going to get set up with a pair of tickets to Game 2 on Wednesday. When we come back, want to take a look at the Capitals. What are our expectations going into this? And we'll wrap up the show in just a little bit here on B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. Shout out our guy, Steven in Rockville. Guess he's got to go to work, so he couldn't hang on the line. But congratulations. He's going to Caps Game 2 on Wednesday.
And we're giving... I'm not giving y'all my last name.
We're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance coming up at 2:20 during Grant and Danny. Also, Grant and Danny are out at City Tap House in Penn Quarter for the game today. If you want to come out and win two free tickets to Game 1, 901 9th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., over there by Cap 1, ahead of, going to be an electric atmosphere tonight at Cap 1, B. Mitch.
Oh, it's going to be electric.
Have you been to a playoff game?
Yes.
Caps playoff game?
Oh, yeah.
I have never been.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been. It seems like it'd be the place to be. They already have one of, if not the best atmosphere for a regular season game.
Oh, hell yeah.
In town. I mean,
but
it's...
It goes up a notch. Maybe a notch and a half. When the playoffs comes around.
What are your expectations for them? Like, they're the top seed in the Eastern Conference. I was listening to the Junks talk about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, saying Eastern Conference Finals, bare minimum. You know, if you lose the Eastern Conference Finals, it'll be disappointing, but it won't be a disappointing season. I feel like they have to go on a little bit of a run, though, with how good of a season they had.
Yeah, I'd love to see a run, but, you know, hockey is the one sport where the 8 seed can win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's been, I heard Joe talking to them this morning, and he talked about the physicality of hockey. And when you start getting people nicked here and there, everybody's probably banged up, but it's who is going to be the healthiest. If they can get back to that level where their health is higher than others, I would say yes, I expect them to be in the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. But if they're not healthy, this thing is tough, man.
Yeah, I don't know if people are talking enough about how big of a loss it is to not have Alexei Protas on the ice tonight. He's a massive part. He was one of the best 5-on-5 players in hockey this season. They don't have him for at least Game 1.
We've seen Ovi go for the goal record, and we've seen how well Logan played. Those two guys would take most of your attention. But the way Protas has played, and Chychrun as well,
yeah,
those two guys are vitally important. Hell, you look at Tom, you think about, oh, yeah, Tom gets out there, he fights, but 30-plus goals.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot. And but what I've looked at this year, and I've complained about it in years prior, where I watch guys stand around and watch Ovi perform. They have guys this year that perform.
Yeah.
Whether Ovi's on the ice or not. So they I think by having that, that gives them a much better chance to have a level of success.
I'm no hockey expert, but for me, the thing that I'm watching tonight is there were a couple of times during the stretch where they've struggled where it just seems like they can't get the puck out of their own zone no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to clear your own zone. Don't let them just hang out in there so that you're getting shot after shot after shot on LT when he's not fully up to snuff yet. So give him a chance to get settled back in, clear the zone, and I think what John said is huge. You got a very inexperienced Montreal team. Test their will. Go out there, punish them physically, but also put some goals on the board early and see if they want to check out.
Yeah. Make them understand that, oh, man, things have been easy. We're in the playoffs. Our young team in the playoffs. Oh, Lord.
We were actually going to run into a wall.
Make them understand how difficult this thing really is.
We were talking before we came back on air here during the break. The Boston Marathon has a new women's record set by Sharon Locati today.
Hey,
31 years old.
Hold on. Landfield, my heart skipped a beat. We said we were talking. I thought he was going to bring up the other stuff we were talking about. Like, damn, you trying to get us all fired?
Yeah, that was wild. That would have been wildly inappropriate to talk about.
I'll save some of our stuff for off air. But
a 5:22 mile for 26.2 miles, that's fine.
Yeah, her unofficial time was 2 hours, 17 minutes, 22 seconds.
That's moving, dog.
It's just insane. She was more than 2.5 minutes faster than the previous Boston Marathon record, which was set in 2014.
The most I've ever run in one just want to go out and run one time. I ran on the treadmill. I was at the park, but they had just the one there now, and they had just opened it up. And I was running on the treadmill. D-Boy was like, man, you good, man. You had 7 miles. I said, well, hell, I'm going to push 10. I pushed 10 miles. And I said that day, there's no damn way I'm running 26 miles. And I've never, ever gotten close to that again.
What's the furthest? Was that, that 10
was
miles?
That was that day.
10 miles?
Now, on a bicycle, I ride it. But I'm like, but people run. When you're running that fast, it just tells you, like, when you're an ex, when you're a pro at something, you damn, you, because if I'm running for 2 hours or something, I think I got to use the bathroom. Like, can I stop? Like, they don't even stop. They just keep going.
It's insane. I mean, it's
but that fast? Dude, it's people that don't run just a mile that fast. That's a friend of mine who's training now for the half marathon, and they pushed their pace about 3 or 4 miles in the 13.2 in the training thing. They got that to 9 minutes and something. But the other time, they had 11, 12. There's people, they're running half of the speed they're running.
So what I'm seeing here is I live out in Herndon area, mm-hmm. so it's a little less than 26 miles. Sometimes with traffic, it takes me 2 hours.
To get home.
These dudes run. Could leave here and run home faster than I could get there driving. It's insane.
Not doing it.
They're running. So the men's record is just over 2 hours. 2 hours, three
two
minutes.
2 hours, 3 minutes.
I don't even That's understand
four,
how you're running 4. That fast.
4.6 mile.
B-Mitch, I can't even run that fast.
That's like, what, 4 minutes and 37, 47 seconds?
Yeah.
Per mile?
Just in
that's
general.
Fly.
Like running down the alley, if you gave me that pace, I can't even keep up with that because that is flying.
I know who else can't. The pace.
I can't keep up with that, but I probably run faster than Toby.
The pace that he ran that 40 at is...
Toby can't keep up with my 40 pace, let alone the Boston Marathons. Even that's a huge comparison.
I think none of us going to keep up with that Boston Marathon.
That's a huge comparison.
What's the fastest mile you ever ran?
Oh, that was like high school, bro. Like
10? 10 minutes?
Nah, it was like 11.
See?
11-minute mile?
That's not doing nothing with Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, you had to run faster in 11 minutes.
Bro, I wasn't a track athlete, bro.
You don't have to be a track athlete to run a sub-11-minute mile.
Toby did that better than in high school.
I ran like an 8-minute mile.
Bro,
in high school,
I don't run full speed when I never time myself running a mile full speed.
Yeah,
we didn't have to.
Jeff, you can like walk a mile in 12 minutes.
I've done it like
maybe less.
I'm gonna say I jogged
6-7, right? Because when we were in college, we had to run around our whole complex that was right at a mile, and my coach, I took off the run, I was chilly. Say, you better not be in nothing other than first, second, or third.
Yeah, bro. I never timed myself.
And when I got that last, like, 200-300 meters, big boy that was running had the little pace on, he wasn't going to beat me there.
Mm-mm.
I took off. My coach said, you held in a little energy, didn't you? I'm like, nah, I'm in shape. I'm young. I'm going to Mr. Gaddy's right now. They got that all-you-can-eat pizza.
I can tell you one thing.
We got kicked out the place that day. If we went that joint, we just took the big pieces off the thing. We would just eat
them
up.
That's the way to do it
right
there.
They're like, y'all got to go. Like, you say all you can eat. We paid it, and we eating all we can.
And they said, that's all you can eat.
Man,
it got you out of there, right?
There every day. But that day, we destroyed them.
Tay in the chat says, Toby and Jeff need to race. I'm a pass on that.
Yeah, Toby would get smoked.
I think both of y'all should pass on it, because I had two friends, Brendan Giuseppe, I'm going to say his whole damn name, and my buddy Eric Johnson. They went to race because we were supposed to be going down to the Masters. They were going to get to the Masters. They were supposed to race. So they were training for the race. Brendan ruptured his Achilles, and Eric damn near tore his damn ACL.
That's because they was doing too much. They was just supposed to get out there and race.
They ran about 30 yards tops. 30 yards tops. So, therefore, I would say, bro, if you haven't been running speed like that, don't even try it, though. You might rip your hamstring off.
I'm pretty confident I'm not going to tear my ACL, but my Achilles might be in trouble.
But you might have to try and stop, bro. And y'all got to stop?
I'm going to be good.
Y'all got what kind of disc brakes on y'all stopping?
I got to be honest. I tore my ACL once in my life, and it's not for the most athletic feat you ever heard either.
What'd you do?
I was trying to dunk on like a 7-foot rim.
Hey, Jeff, after hearing that, Jeff, you'll kill him. Well, I thought Charlie Cassidy was bad. He was walking, and he ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
Walking.
That's rough.
Just walking.
Walking?
Yes.
Not like speed walking.
No, no, no.
Not like in a rush to get somewhere.
I think he was like walking, like leaving a little event or something, and then pop.
That's
I'm
going to
stop talking about people's Achilles because I'm older now. That's why everybody, they always say, my man, why are you always stretching? Trying not to have one of those issues,
dog. Range of mobility.
Yeah, you don't want one of those things. You don't want one of those things. Landfill has a topic on here for we can hit on. Who's the most overrated player in sports right now?
Landfill? No, I'm joking. Most overrated person in sports?
Jeff, who you got on this?
I don't know who.
In sports?
Yeah.
That's a broad, broad
It's very
topic.
Broad.
Yeah.
Can I say one as a hater?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Sidney Crosby.
All right. That's
just being a hater.
That's truly being a hater right there. Yeah.
He's an all-time great.
I'm trying to think like somebody that gets a lot of. Well, hell, I started off the show saying it. I'm going to just say it. I mean, basketball is a two-way sport. You can't just play one way and you're just distant on the other. I'm going to go with Luka.
Brian, Nico, Harrison, Mitchell. That's what it is. B-Mitch would have traded him too, right?
Ooh.
Luka.
Probably would.
Yeah.
But what's your little buddy name that went to, where he went to?
Who's that?
The quarterback.
C.J. Stroud?
No, your little quarterback from Tennessee that they got rid of.
Oh,
Nico.
Yeah, him. Yeah, he might be the most overrated.
It's valid.
He went out there and had 17 touchdowns, and he wanted to get more money. Now he went to, they said, bye. Now he go to another school and He just started holding. The other quarterback left. Man, I will battle against him.
I know who Landfill gonna say.
Who?
Dylan.
No. Two homers over the weekend. Two homers over the weekend. The guy's rolling. I'm not gonna say anyone in DC. What do you got,
man,
Landfill?
That's hard.
It's a tough question.
It is.
It is a legitimately tough question.
I mean, I would think that you put the question up that you had an answer for.
Speaking of haters, our guy Max just texted me and said Dak Prescott. I don't know that Dak Prescott, he went from being underrated to overrated to I kind of think he's underrated again.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a solid quarterback.
Can't be underrated if you
he's
didn't play.
He's overrated. That's Tony Romo 2.0.
If you're underrated, you can't. If you're not playing, you can't be underrated.
Hold on. You want all time? This goes with my list of what Landfill and Jeff were given the most hated athletes. You want most overrated? Dez Bryant. I could not stand Dez Bryant. He's a good receiver. He was talked about like he was an all-timer. No, he was not. There have been multiple 88s
you know
to the Cowboys better
that?
Than him.
Toby meant that. He know he was not.
Yeah, he
put the whole.
He felt that way.
No, he was not.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that. Jeff, you got a good answer?
This is tough. I'm really trying to think. Like, who?
Maybe we need a commercial break to think about this. We can give our answers on the other side.
Yeah,
you think that's better?
Let's do that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll give you our most overrated player in sports right now and heard it here first. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. Most overrated of all time. Who is it other than Jeff Walker? 800-636-106. I'm not going to do that to you, Jeff. You're not the most overrated. I don't know if underrated is right. Properly rated, B. Mitch, for Jeff Walker?
Ask Jeff. Y'all think he's
underrated.
You don't believe in yourself. Nobody will.
Just ask Jeff. He'll tell you.
Reminder, we're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Next chance coming up at 2:20 with Grant and Danny, who are live out at City Tap House in Penn Quarter. Had a little bit of time to think about this now. Who do we got? Most overrated player.
I'm going to go for this time, and I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers. He is, one, he got on the field and got injured. All this talk about where he's going and if other teams, I think he's overrated right now. You don't know if he's going to get on the ball, get up there. He's probably going to hurt his wrist putting his hands under center. So I just got to go. I got to go with Aaron Rodgers right now.
I'm going to go with Jeff, quarterback of his old team.
Who's that?
Who's your old team, Jeff, before you chose the Ravens?
Oh, you mean my old secondary team?
Yeah, that
hey, look,
too.
Make sure you put emphasis on secondary.
World team.
Oh, you going to go with Justin Herbert?
Yeah, man. I've heard how great he is. What has he won?
He hasn't won anything.
To his defense.
There we go.
No.
His coach was a bonehead.
All right.
He had a chance to make the playoffs, and his coach had to call a timeout.
But I keep hearing that other players got to make the coach look better.
Hey,
because they that talented. He ain't make nobody look better.
I'm going to let Scarence Terrence speak for me. This isn't from me. This is from Scarence Terrence. He says, as a hater, I say Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to disagree there. Jeff, or Lamphill, who's your most overrated?
My most overrated is Tua.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he was very much highly rated last year, the year before last.
It's an interesting discussion, though, because remember last year before the season, we get this poll comes out, and Josh Allen was voted as the most overrated player in the NFL, and look what he did last season, won the MVP. So we'll see. Maybe
some people still think that thing should be questioned.
I can guarantee you one.
You look at Lamar's numbers, I don't know about
I can
that.
Guarantee you one thing. Justin Herbert might turn it around. Maybe Tua does. Aaron Rodgers ain't. So I think Jeff was on to something cooking there. Let's play Heard It Here first.
Yeah, he's just on mushrooms.
What do we got for tonight? Looks like I'm trying to see if
it's a basketball tonight, and they got Caps tonight.
Yeah, can I just take the Caps?
Yeah, you can.
That's what I was about to ride with too.
All right, hold on. I think we're all probably going to take the Caps. What do we have as a score tonight for the Capitals? I'm gonna go 3-1 Caps.
2-0.
I have Caps scoring more than the Canadians.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and
well said.
Yeah, Lamphill. That's my bet too.
Who's scoring tonight, Jeff?
Ovi. I'm taking Ovi goal.
Okay, so we're going Ovi anytime goal?
Yeah,
correct.
I like that. I like Ovi. I'm gonna go with my guy, Ryan Leonard. Let's find a way. Ryan Leonard, first clear playoff game. Let's say Ryan Leonard scores. What else do we got?
I'm gonna take the Knicks to win and the over.
Give me the Yankees too.
I feel like Strome is 100% getting a point tonight too.
Okay. I'm rocking a Stromer jersey today. I'm rocking Stromer, so I can get on board with that. There's a bunch of good action tonight. There's a bunch of good playoff games tonight, or two good NBA playoff games, Detroit and New York, game two, L.A. and Denver. Who do we like in that one? That's a tough one.
I think I'm going Clips tonight. The Clippers.
Yeah, I kind of think they get it done, right? This is going to – I feel like this has seven games. Exactly. This has seven-game series written all over it. I think this one's going to be fun. It's funny how the NBA – we do this every year, B-Mitch, where the NBA we just – it's annoying during the regular season, all this. You get to the playoff time, and we're just dialed in.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to watch. Listen, elite playoff
basketball.
The games
have been going very, very heavy on the under. And we talk about they play a better defense. The Knicks game the other night was 230-something.
Oh, my gosh.
They're over.
Yeah, I mean, these teams can get up and score. I was listening to Charles Barkley last night. He's like, if you can't score 100 points in the modern NBA, your offense just sucks. But I think some of it, the defense does pick up in the playoffs, so that's good. Also got four playoff hockey games tonight outside of the Capitals. You got three others. You got Winnipeg taking on St. Louis. Got Dallas taking on Colorado. L.A. taking on Edmonton. It's a good night to be a sports fan. Plenty of stuff to watch, whatever you want to watch. Did you watch any of the golf tournament this past weekend?
Yeah.
You see, there were two of them, right?
Well, they had two, but I watched the one that was in
the RBC with Justin Thomas.
Justin won it.
Won on a playoff. I felt bad for Joel Damon, man. Bogey, 71 and 72 holes.
Hey, man.
To fall short.
It happens, dog.
That's tough.
How about bogeyed my man, 16, Siwoo too. Kim was leading on the seven, and he just fell apart.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
I could never win a real golf tournament. I have no clutch when it comes to golf.
No clutch, Gene?
Especially on the putting green.
Maybe you should work on that.
I can tell you one thing, though. I don't need the clutch gene to play Jeff. I'd kick his butt.
Oh, now you do.
I put up 100. Winner better. Takes all.
Oh, perfect.
The 100 for you two, because y'all not in my.
Say no
my,
more.
Y'all not going to play against me.
Jeff's been doing aim point. He's really improving.
So he's going to take forever is what you're hearing.
Oh, he can aim.
Absolutely.
He won't hit it where he aimed it. I promise you that.
Oh, hey. Just shout out to my boy Mel at Langston Golf Course. That's
I know,
all
Mel.
Just shout out to my boy.
Hey, Mel, don't get Jeff over here getting broke, coming out here talking trash to the wrong people.
Appreciate Chris Miles for joining us earlier in the show, as well as Fred Smoot and John Walton. If you missed any of the show, you can check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Grant and Danny live from City Tap House in the Penn Quarter coming up next here on The Fan.